Well, to be honest with you, you know, during the season, it's a pretty good grind. I mean, you put everything that you can possibly put into 6-7 months of work. And after the season's over with, I think you look forward to a little time off. But it's short because, you know, you got to obviously a lot of things to get done with free agency, with the draft, evaluating your own players, the mini camps. And, you know, now it's a number of things. But it's always tough, obviously, when you end the season like we did. But you work extremely hard to put the best team you can together in the offseason. And obviously, good evaluation of the draft, or at least what you think is a good evaluation of the draft. And now we're all ready to go. Pretty optimistic.
Mike, do you feel you accomplished what you really wanted to do in training camp preseason?
Pardon me?
Do you feel like you accomplished what you wanted to do in the training camps?
Oh, in our OTA days?
Yes.
Yeah, we had 15. You're allowed 17. We had 15. And it's really a must now. You got about a 30-year football team that turns over every year. You've got guys that have to get used to your terminology, have to get used to your system that you're using. And I actually feel after those OTA days that you could actually go into camp and play a game. So, you know, the length of camps aren't as long as they used to be. A little tougher for us because we're starting a little later than most, and we start the same day as all these other teams at the beginning of the season. Collective bargaining agreement, we can only start 15 days before our first regular preseason game, and obviously with the Monday night game we start later. I think it would have bothered me a long time ago when you didn't have football related workouts. So it's been positive. You get a chance to evaluate some of your players, not only working with football but how they handle themselves in the offseason program with the strength and conditioning. So we're looking forward to it.
With all the OTA days and everything you just talked about, it doesn't seem like training camp is quite the rite of passage that it used to be, where everybody goes off and it's so hard on the guys.
Yeah, I agree with you, you know, because you get back in football shape, but there's nothing like putting pads on too, as you all know. I mean, you can work out and you can run, you can lift, you can go through these OTA days and you get a feel, but until you put those pads on and get in football shape, you know, that just doesn't come naturally. It takes you a couple weeks, a few weeks to get back in what we call football shape and get used to those bumps and bruises. And, you know, that's a tough part of the training camp.
Can you get a sense in the OTAs how well those new pieces like Travis and Dre and Daniel, how well they fit in and how excited you are about them?
Well, you really don't. Yeah, you get a good feel of these guys. I think the veteran players, you get a real good feel because you've watched them play in the National Football League. So, talk about Travis Henry, all you got to do is go back to Tennessee and watch how he played last year, obviously with the competition in the NFL. Daniel Graham, the same thing. A little bit tougher with these college players that you're projecting that you don't know exactly how they can play against the top personnel. And you get a better feel with these preseason games and obviously when the pads go on.
Does Jim Bates like a little more training camp contact than past coordinators?
Well, I think everybody likes contact during training camp. You just have to be smart on how much contact do you really want. And we've always been a team that has a lot of contact during preseason. We don't try to do it two times a day. We don't tackle live, but we you know, there's a lot of run drills and obviously 9-on-7, 1-on-1 where the contact's there, but you're not bringing people to the ground.
Mike, what's Rod Smith's status?
Well, he's on PUP right now, which means that we'll just keep on working him out with Rich Tootin and Greek. And when we feel like he's able to practice, then we'll take him off PUP.
Did you put anybody else on there?
Yeah, we put Brandon Marshall on there and Tony Scheffler on there. Obviously, the same thought process. We'll be working out these guys, and we feel like they're in football shape and their injuries are healed. Then, obviously, they'll go off PUP.
Close as Brandon, is that the quad injury he had?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really don't know, to be honest with you. You know, we're going to work the heck out of him, Rich Tootin, and we feel like when he can practice two-a-day practices and he can help us on the football field, being able to go full speed and obviously evaluate, you know, his chances of, you know, competing at the position. So we feel like he can do that. We'll take him off PUP.
Is that quite a setback for him being a young guy competing for a starting spot?
It never helps you when you're not practicing.
So you have to launch the other receivers a little bit with the
reps with those two guys now?
Now we have 11 guys, you know, on our football team at the wide receiver position. Some practices will go 8 or 9, and that's not too bad. You can still compete. You can still give the defensive backs a lot of, you know, a lot of reps. You know, any time you're 4 deep or more, you should be in good shape even when you're practicing one time a day. So we brought a few more receivers in this year than we have in the past because we knew Rod Smith would be on one a days or obviously be out for a little bit. Brandon Stokely will be on one practice a day. Brandon Marshall, obviously. We'll wait and see how his quad comes back. And we're just hoping we stay healthy.
And Mike, you guys are coming to camp with 93 guys. And given the camp is so much shorter, how do you find time to get a look at everybody?
Well, like I shared with you before, part of the evaluation has been over the last 15 days of football-related drills and how guys have handled themselves in the off-season program. And it is a little bit tougher once you do start training camp, but when you're able to go a couple practices a day and special teams, not only will you evaluate them on a day-to-day basis, but we'll also get a chance to see what they do in these preseason games, how they handle themselves under pressure. And I think the 2 days going against the Cowboys, being able to practice there will help us in our evaluation process.
How do you think you stack up against some of these AFC teams? There seems like a lot of real strong teams in the AFC this year. It's pretty tough.
Oh, at the bottom. Yeah, at the bottom.
What do you think overall about the strength of the AFC? It seems like there's a lot of teams.
Well, obviously the AFC is a very, very, very strong. And one of the reasons why, it's just so competitive. There's a number of teams, and I don't have to name them, you know them, that everybody's got a legitimate chance to win the big one. And that's what you're looking for, is having that chance to get to the big game. And there's a number of teams in the AFC that have the talent to do it.
You're talking about the roster changing over 30 every year. When you look at the change in personnel on your roster, to what extent do you look at some of the other teams in the AFC and how you match up, or do you approach it that way?
Well, what we try to do is, look at, for example, this year, you take a look at a guy like Dre Bly. Dre Bly comes in, he's a legitimate starter first day. Sometimes it's hard to get a guy like that in the offseason. He went through the OTAs, looks exceptionally good. To get a guy like Daniel Graham that you watch on obviously an organization that's had a lot of success, and he's played a lot and he's had a lot of success. To bring him in as a starter at the tight end position, a lot of times you don't get a chance to do that. You're talking about first round draft choices. You get a guy like Travis Henry that obviously had a very productive year, and to be able to get him, bring him in as a starter, that doesn't happen every offseason. So we feel good not only about the guys we brought in as starters, but some of the guys we brought in to add depth. Take a look at Montre Holland or Patrick Ramsey, guys that have a chance to compete at that position to be legitimate starters in the National Football League. And then you take a look at your draft and try to help your team as much as you can at areas where you don't feel you might be as deep. We try to address that at the defensive line position this year. And so all that is part of the process to give you a chance to, do something special once you get to the playoffs.
Mike, can I ask about leadership? Al's not here. Rod right now is on PP, as you said. When someone comes in and tries to take over as a team leader, is it the position they come into? Is it that they've been here? How other players look at them? How's that process?
There's only one way you can lead in the National Football League, and that's you have to play well. I mean, if you want to lead, you have to show it on the practice field. You have to show it on game day. And that's what we're looking for. Who's going to step up and play extremely well on game day? And who those leaders will be, I can't tell you. But the natural leaders that we all know, you take a look at a guy like, John Lynch, how he handles himself in the offseason program, how he's handled himself on the football field. Take a look at a guy like Nick Ferguson, again, natural leader, Champ Bailey. Guys that work and are very proven players, but they do the little things the right way. Now you take a look at your offense, the Tom Nalens, the Matt Lepsis, guys that, they worked their rear ends off for 3-4 months, never miss an offseason program. When they do work out, they give it everything they got. And what you're hoping is that with this type of leadership and these guys playing at the level that they've played at for a bunch of years, that these younger guys who have talent have the type of work ethic that these veteran players have. And if you do that, then you got a chance to have a special team. If they don't do that and they don't step up, then, you know, you're maybe 9-10 wins.
Like Mike, have you signed Jarvis yet?
Yeah, Jarvis, everybody's signed. Everybody's ready to go.
Mike, you talk about leaders. How about Jay Cutler? How did he evolve this offseason? He's still a young guy, but quarterback your team as a leader.
Well, just what I said. And Jay Cutler becomes a leader when he plays well. I mean, he can do everything he wants in the offseason, and he has done that. But again, example of guys like John Lynch, Nick Ferguson, Champ Bailey, Tom Nalen, Matt Lepsis, Ben Hamilton, guys that know, they know what it takes in the offseason to prepare themselves. A young guy like Jay Cutler, we know what type of ability he has. He's got to do it on game day. He's got to do it consistently in practice. And that, a guy like that will gain respect as time goes on. But ultimately, we're all judged on game day, and he will be judged as well.
What's your reaction to having Terrell Davis go in the Ring of Fame?
Obviously, you know, very well deserved. I mean, I don't know how you get any better than Terrell Davis. As a person, as a football player, I mean, we don't win those Super Bowls without Terrell Davis on our football team. And, you know, a lot of people talk about the system all the time. People don't realize how great a back Terrell Davis was for this organization, what kind of person he was as well. So to see him get in that Ring of Fame is very special. Well, I'm excited every year. I think, you know, the question's asked, you know, how do you feel this year? Well, you know, the reason why you're in this game is to win and hopefully have a chance to win the championship. And I'm excited because of the work we've had in the offseason program and some competition we have at different positions. So, you know, you always take it year by year, but I'm very excited and hopefully we'll be here for a while.